Hi, this is Lee Caverne. I'm going to read a passage from my second novel, The Matter of Sylvie. So what you need to know for this passage is Sylvie is a severely challenged child, and I'm going to read a piece from Corporal Lloyd's Wednesday in February of 1973. Lloyd is Sylvie's father, and he's off duty but still in his RCMP uniform. He's rescued Jimmy Widman, the town drunk, who's been badly beaten but stitched up by the local veterinarian. He's taking Jimmy to the Michener Center in Red Deer, where he hopes to have him admitted. The Michener Center, for those of you not familiar, is a government-run institution for persons with developmental disabilities. It's also where Sylvie lives. Lloyd pulls into the Burger Bear and rolls down his window. The frigid air invades the warmth of Pete's Camaro, causing every hair on Lloyd's body to rise at once. Despite the bulk of his RCMP parka, the layers of clothing beneath, the beige shirt his wife presses for him each Sunday, the unwelcome cold forms bumps along the surface of his skin. "Can I help you?" says an impatient female voice through the metal speaker, which shakes Lloyd from his reverie, the inward cold. Lloyd peruses the menu but can't make out the beef from the chicken from the fries due to the white frost assaulting the faded colored images, the pictures like memory itself, waning with age, light, time. "Sir, we close at 7, the disembodied voice says. Lloyd looks at his watch, just past 2, smartass. "In that case," Lloyd says, "give me a black coffee, whatever the Burger Baron special is, and fries, times 2. "Hot chocolate?" he asks Jimmy. Jimmy Widman is sitting outright upright now in the back seat, a good sign. Jimmy grunts. Lloyd takes that for a yes. "Whipped cream with that, sir?" Her sir's like cider vinegar. Lloyd ignores the tone, turns and looks at Jimmy, his disheveled hair, the powder blue ski suit, the warp of his distorted face that Lloyd never really noticed before. Easy to overlook whenever he found Jimmy slumped over, lying face down, taking refuge in some abandoned doorway like a child's fort. Lloyd thought it had to do with too many impromptu ditch fights with the Fleck brothers, but recognizes instinctively Sylvie's skewed features, the backward slant of eyes, the twisted hairline scar intersecting Jimmy's lips. Notwithstanding his broken nose, dislocated jaw, stitches swelling, bruising, battering at all. The unnatural intensity in his one eye, as if to make up for everything else that Jimmy has had to withstand in his 40 difficult years. "Good God, yes, give the man whipped cream," Lloyd says. He hears the abrupt click of the speaker. In the back seat, Jimmy Widman rubs his smooth hands together. Nice to see him alive, awake, receptive. $6.58, sir, the woman says, her breath visible white in the frigid air. Jimmy pushes the passenger seat forward, tries to maneuver the door handle. "Where you headed, Jimmy?" "Bathroom," Jimmy says. Lloyd leans over, helps Jimmy open the passenger door. "Make sure you come right back," Lloyd says, surveying the vast nothingness of the frozen prairie around them, the standalone Burger Baron. No place, really, to go. Jimmy gets out, winks his one good eye at Corporal Lloyd. Amazing he can walk, even, considering, Lloyd thinks, and shuts the door to keep the heat in. He rolls the window up, glances over the restaurant to locate Jimmy, but he's nowhere in sight. Must be in the men's room. A few older men sit in the plain wood booths, sipping coffee from styrofoam cups, reading the newspaper. Over in the corner, a birthday party in progress for a girl from the looks of the bright pink and red shiny balloons, the gaggle of smiling, laughing children, their warm-faced mothers, helium balloons in abundance, tied to the tables in bunches, around the kids' skinny wrists, floating in a row along the top of the coat rack. A veritable balloon fest. Lloyd glances at his watch, almost 2:30. They'd better get a move on if he's going to get to Michener before the administration office closes at 4. Wouldn't do him or Jimmy Widman any good to have to spend the night in Red Deer. Besides that, there's anxiousness in the pit of his belly. Something to do with the day, getting home to Jacqueline, his children. Some part of him not ready to face Sylvie after all this time. He rolls down his window, knocks on the drive-through to get the older woman's attention. He can't see her. But over by the coat rack with the plethora of birthday balloons taped above it, he spots Jimmy in his powder blue ski suit with his back to him. He's jerking about. What is he doing? Lloyd hopes it's not some sort of standing seizure, though he knows from Sylvie that's not possible. Petite mal, yes, but anything grand would require the full cooperation of the body and always on the floor. Maybe an after effect to hypothermia that Lloyd doesn't know about. Will this day never end? Lloyd raps sharply on the takeout window, rouses the attention of one of the birthday mothers, young, pretty, pleasing green eyes. She smiles at Lloyd, waves. Lloyd doesn't know if she's waving at him, his RCMP-ness, or the Z28 Camaro, all things being equal, or so he imagines. From his vantage point in the Camaro, he can see Jimmy from the waist up, and whatever Jimmy's busy with over there in the corner, it must be enthralling because he can't get Jimmy to notice. He shuts the motor off, climbs out of the car. The affront of the burning cold seizes his breath. He zips up his parka. And all at once, at precisely the same time, Lloyd sees too what the pretty mother, the other mothers, their gaggle of children, the men reading newspapers, the acidic woman who has reappeared. He sees what they see. They all watch Jimmy's back, the ski pants dropped around his ankles, his legs two pale-colored sticks like flamingos, the flat of his exposed buttocks, the accompanying herky-jerky motion. Lloyd sees the young mother's face in a muted howl through the closed window of the Burger Baron as he bolts to the entrance, hopes he can get there in time, avert an all-out disaster. The children scrambling back to their mothers, the older men rising from the wood booths, but not one of them make a move toward Jimmy. He could be live, like a grenade, go off unexpectedly. And Jimmy? Jimmy Widman in all his glory, in his women's ski suit, the shiny pink and red balloons, full, round, curved in such a way that the color pales, ever so slightly at the peak of each balloon, like delicate nipples. Not one, not a pair, but 10, 15, 20 almost bursting, rousing balloons floating in the overheated air above the coat rack. At the last possible moment, and before Lloyd is able to traverse the short distance across the restaurant, Jimmy Widman turns his head, no doubt in response to the combined wailing of children and mothers alike. Jimmy turns for the grand finale, his closing moment, the pin from his live grenade. He smiles eagerly, innocently at the birthday crowd, the men, the vinegar-faced woman with the hot chocolate in her hand, his whipped cream a mile high. He ejaculates onto the concrete floor of the Burger Baron. Like breath is all Lloyd can think of as he tackles Jimmy to the floor, broken ribs and jaws, hypothermia aside. Good God Almighty, who thought that up?